Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 6. And it reads thusly, I beseech ye therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling of which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, all of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The word of God for the people of God.
Have you had a good time today?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory.
Wow. I want to thank all of our musicians.
Amen. Thank you.
I think they've had as much fun singing as we've had watching them.
Amen.
Portia, thank you. Miss Bobby, thank you. Mary had to leave a little early. And Brandon, I'm glad to see you're finally getting taller. Yeah, no, I think he is standing up, aren't you? No, oh, there it is. Okay, yeah. So thanks for bringing the beat for us today. Carlos, you might have a band between the two of y'all and Jimbo. You know, so we've thought about the service, this whole idea of unity and reconciliation. But how do you get beyond these barriers that we in the world sort of bring together that hold us back, that keep us from being who God wants us to be? You know, I have a friend who is a blacksmith up in Tennessee, and I would love to go by his gritty, dark, hot shop and watch him create some beautiful pieces of art. Mm-hmm. If you go to a blacksmith shop, you don't go with your finest clothes because you're not going to come out with them being very well, but you come kind of expecting because something's being made. I remember I would watch him, he would with determination, take these long wrought iron pieces of rods, and he would place them in this furnace of hot coal, and then he would take the bellows, and this was an old-timey shop, and he would pump up the bellows, and the coal would get hotter and hotter, and you know it was getting hotter because the color of the coal would change, and the hotter it would become, it would go from like red to orange, eventually all the way to white, and he would place this rod in there, and as the coals would get hotter, the iron would get to be where it was blazing. And this dark black piece of iron would slowly become red and on fire and white as well. And when he was done, he would take it out using these great tongs and these big mitts. And he would place it on this huge anvil. And on the anvil, he would begin to forge this iron into something. And he would take a huge hammer of some type, and he would have to hammer it out. And he would hammer, and he would move. And I remember that he would have all these different instruments that he would use to help forge and create this piece of iron into something beautiful. And he would take something else down and help to turn the iron or to twist it to some way. And he was creating something beautiful for the home, for a barn. But he always had something in mind. But it took a lot of effort to make this thing possible. It took heat, and it took work, and it took effort, and it took creativity, and it took sweat. And when he was done, it was this beautiful, beautiful piece. In this passage in Ephesians that Ernest read for us, Paul says this, I beg you, I beseech you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you were called. with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. The church in Ephesus, like many of the early churches that Paul writes to, was being divided by the inclusion of the Gentiles along with the Jews. And these were more than just ethnic groups. They didn't just look differently. They had completely different worldviews, completely different ways of understanding the body and the world and our place in the world. And yet, through the miracle of salvation, God brought these two completely different groups and made them one. But it didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen always easily. But when it did, Paul says that between these groups, that the gift of the unity that happened came as a gift of the Holy Spirit. That it was something that we as humans were not able to do, but it was because of the Holy Spirit that unity was able to happen. Ernest said earlier that it just doesn't happen that two churches come together, two different races and two different people and two different people with different ideas don't come together without the Spirit of God making it happen. That it's not natural for us to go outside of our family and call someone brother and sister. But through the gift of the Holy Spirit, it happens. The unity of the body of Christ happens because the Spirit comes and through the grace of God moves inside of us. And we begin to see each other differently and together. And the barriers begin to break down. And while we aren't the ones who create the unity, Paul gives us a task. He says, maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Paul doesn't say through the spirit of peace, through the desire of peace, through the feeling of peace. Unity is too difficult for that. Instead, Paul says the unity is maintained through the bond of peace. Peace is forged through the reconciling work of Jesus on the cross. Like those beautiful pieces of art created by my friend on the anvil and through the hot coals, peace between human beings can only occur through the hard, ugly work of the cross and the crucifixion. Jesus forges in us the capacity, the bond of peace to maintain the unity among brothers and sisters. And our world needs this reconciliation. The world is writing checks that no one's able to cash, and the reconciliation on the books is never happening. The divisions and the alienations between human beings lie at the heart of every trouble in the world. You look to the Middle East, and you look to the separation between the different sects of Islam. The breakdowns of trying for water and oil. You look to Ukraine and you see the challenges between two peoples of the Ukraine and Russia. You look to Africa and the challenges of where is war breaking out is happening because people are feeling alienated and there's no way to come together. And if you look closely at the church, you can see it there too. In the church, we alienate each other based on race and ethnicity. We speak different languages. We come from different cultures. And so we say, well, y'all be over there and we'll be over here. In the world, we alienate each other based on education. Well, I have this and you don't have that and I can do this and you can't do that. We alienate families, those in our families, because we let communication break down and we no longer feel connected to the people who raised us and who loved us and who truly call us brother and sister. We alien each other based on our political persuasions. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. I voted for this person. I voted for that person. When we allow our politics to choose our religion versus our religion to choose our politics, we've gotten it all wrong. We are all part of the kingdom of God. We alienate each other based on our religious practices. How many churches have divided over worship wars? We're not going to have a drum here. We're not going to have an organ here. Or sharp distinctions of doctrine. Look back across church history and you see wars that have happened because of what we're going to celebrate today, but what this bread and what this juice should represent and be. How many wars and feuds and church fights and sins have originated out of our feelings of being alienated from one another? From allowing the barriers that divide us to become so big that we can never see the humanity and the people on the other side. Paul says, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Reconciliation between one another is never cheap. And it's never easy. Bridging the gaps of alienation forces us in the bond of peace to view each other in new ways. The bond of peace forged at the cross invites us into conversations with one another, to listen to the stories of each other, to welcome the grace to one another. That grace will always be costly. It costs Christ a great deal. It does for us. This morning, we are going to invite everyone to experience and practice reconciliation at the table before us. There are many ways for us to think and to talk about the bread and the cup. But today, as we take the bread and cup, we want to remember what it cost Jesus to reconcile us to God. We want to remember that grace was never easy. That in order for us to be forged and bonded in peace, that it costs God a great deal. So today, as we take the bread and the cup, we're reminded of what reconciliation requires. But today, reconciliation at the table is also more than just something we remember. Today, it is something we invite you to practice. We don't just become reconciled. It requires work on our behalf. And the table today is a representation of that, where we practice reconciliation, where we practice coming together at God's table, at the great feast of the Lord, where we are neither black or white or one church or another, but where we are one in the bond of Christ. Jesus invites us to take this type of reconciliation to the world, but it's practiced here. Today we come to the table together to practice love. We come to the table together to practice forgiveness. We come to the table together to practice mercy. We come to the table together to practice grace. We come to the table bound in peace, seeking the unity which the Spirit brings into our lives and into our church and into our world. And today we are no longer two churches. The human barriers of skin color and background and worship style and church membership no longer divide us. We are the people of God in this place. And we come to the table as a visual expression of this ancient baptismal rite that Paul quotes in verses 4 through 6. Let us remember these words today as we come to God's table. There is one body, and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. We are one through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who today invites us to his table. And today I invite you to come. Ernest, let's go and prepare the elements. We have deacons from both sets of churches today to come and to help us to practice reconciliation. Y'all come. If you want to get on this side over here. In tone. Yeah. Y'all come face us. Your spots, find your spots.
Supper in the upper room. He while they were lounging back at supper, they had been through a whole lot of things. You're talking about unity. Remember, before they got there, one was complaining, asking who were going to sit on the right hand and the left hand. So all the apostles were going through some things. But Jesus, he said, listen, you know, that it's not going to be among you to be fussing and fighting over stuff. But he said, I'm gonna make this supper. And this bond, I'm going to bond you together with. And he said, I'm not going to do it anymore, and I'm not going to eat of the bread or drink of the cup until I drink it you knew in my Father's kingdom. So while they was lounging, he took bread and broke it. And he gave thanks to God for the bread.
And then after supper, he took a cup and he poured into a common cup. And he said, this is my blood that's been shed for you. And today as you take it, I want you to recognize that you are creating a new covenant based on me as the Savior. And I'm building that covenant with inside of you. And in so doing, he gave us the gift of reconciliation, the gift of being one body and one covenant. Will you pray with me? And now, O Lord, as we come to the table, we pray that you'll allow us to bring our own lives. The things that we are struggling with, the things that we're hurting. And Lord, may you help us to remember what you have done on the cross for us, to reconcile us to you. For there's salvation that comes only through Jesus. But Lord, I pray that as we come as well, that we will see one body of faith. Representing one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And Lord, may you teach us to be the practitioners of your peace and seekers after your unity. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, what we'll do is our deacons from both sets of churches will be lined up here at the front. We'll have two stations, two on this side and two on my left. And then we'll invite you to come forward. And as you come forward, you'll come and you'll take the bread and eat it. And then take one step over and there'll be cups and for you to drink one cup. And then you can place it back into the plate. And then you can walk back to your seat. We want us to practice the unity and reconciliation that we have talked about today. And I pray that it'll experience and be God's one church for you today.
Oh, that man. nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This has been a great day of unity and coming together, and we want to end today by sharing a song with you to remind us that in this world, we have each other, and because of Jesus, we are never, ever alone. Through a storm. Hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark.
At the end of the storm is a golden sky and a sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain,
though your dreams be tossed and blown.
Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart,
and you'll Jesus told us at the end of the book of Matthew, "Lo, I am with you always, always, even until the end of the world." Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on, walk on, with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk.
No, you will never walk.
No, you.
Wonderful, man, I tell you.
We might try this again.
Well, this is, you know.
If we can work it out.
Yeah. Did it work? Did it work? Did it work?
Did it work? Makes you want to stay home from vacation on Labor Day weekend now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hit the golf course.
Okay. Well, y'all, I know Ernest and I both want you to know, and both from whether you are here visiting or whether you're here from First Baptist or Shady Grove, that all this we've talked about today, from the unity to reconciliation, only happens because of Jesus in your life. And if you have never made a decision to follow him in your life, you know that both Ernest and I would love to talk to you more about that.
Yes.
And that's where all of this begins. with the relationship with Him. So, Ernest, y'all have got a way that you'll normally close out your services.
Yeah, we get a little song. It's not much to say. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Come on, stand on your feet. Sing that with us.
Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can.
One more time. Let's do it again. We're just not getting the hand hold. Be God's people this week. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
I wanted to be like,